Gordon, this week I discovered James Earl Jones reading the Bible, and he has such a silky smooth voice. I'd say you're getting close, Gordon. You're getting good. Well, when we read these passages, if you haven't noticed yet today, there's a theme of shepherds with our worship service, and that comes from our passage in John 10. We're beginning John chapter 10. We'll look at verses 1 through 21 today. But you have to understand that when the Bible was written, these chapter breaks weren't in there. And so the context when Jesus said this was connected with what had just happened. And if you'll remember, there was a feast. Jesus was in Jerusalem, and there was a man who was born blind, healed, and it became the point of a controversy. And with this controversy, the man who was healed was questioned by the Pharisees. The man came to believe in Jesus because Jesus revealed himself to him. But the Pharisees continued to oppose this man, and they, in fact, didn't like what he had to say or his reasoning regarding Jesus, so they cast him out of the synagogue. In other words, he was not going to be able to sit under God's word anymore. So Jesus says, in that context, these words, and he says, "Truly, truly, I say to you," and he begins this analogy of shepherds and sheep, of the good shepherd and the sheep. Well, the important thing that I want you to notice at the very start of this is that in the Middle East, shepherding happens in a unique way. In other parts of the world, there are things like sheepdogs that push and drive the sheep by barking at them and chasing them in one direction. In the Middle East, shepherding, which still happens to this day among a group called the Bedouins, is that the shepherd uses his voice to lead the sheep. And you see that several times in our passage, that the shepherd will call and the sheep will recognize his voice and they will follow that shepherd. One of my professors in seminary told me a story about a tour in Israel when they were having this explained to them. And if you're around Jerusalem and you're around Israel, you will see these little groups of sheep or goats, and then there's a shepherd leading them. And the tour guide will explain that these are Bedouins, that they are shepherding their sheep. And so the tour guide was telling them that this Bedouin shepherd and all of these Bedouin shepherds lead their sheep because the sheep listen to their voice. So therefore, the tour guide said, the shepherd will always be out in front. And just as he was saying this, someone on the bus raised his hand and said, that man is behind his sheep. And so the tour guide said to the driver, stop the bus. Gets out, walks down and starts talking to this man. And everyone is looking, what's happening out there? And so he's talking and they're having a friendly conversation. Well, the tour guide gets back on the bus and everyone is sitting there waiting. And the man gets back on and he gets up to the front seat and he gets on the microphone and he has a smirk on his face. And he said to everyone, well, the shepherd is right over there ahead of the sheep. The man following behind is the butcher. Jesus is talking here about this kind of shepherding, and he says that there are different kinds of shepherds. So this relationship is brought out, and you see this theme of a voice calling the sheep and leading the sheep, and the shepherd has a responsibility. This relationship between the sheep and the shepherd puts something on the shepherd's shoulders as his responsibility. The shepherd is to care for the sheep, to take care of those sheep, to feed those sheep, to protect those sheep from animals, from thieves, and to lead the sheep, to go where they ought to go. Now, of course, Jesus is talking about people being like sheep. And the shepherds to real sheep reflect what people ought to be who have authority to do the same things for other people, for God's people, to feed them, to protect them, to lead them according to God's will, God's ways. The sheep, on the other hand, we are all compared to sheep, and the sheep have a role in this relationship as well. As sheep, sheep listen, sheep follow, and sheep submit to and accept the care of the shepherd. Well, we are compared to sheep, and we have to accept that in Jesus' analogy, that we are people that are sheepish or sheep-like. We are people that have needs. We need to be led. We need this kind of relationship where we are fed and guided. Well, he compares good shepherds and bad shepherds. Some shepherds have been good throughout the history of God's people. King David was held up as an example of a great shepherd. In fact, when God called him, he was shepherding sheep, just like this is talking about, in the hills around Bethlehem. And he was anointed to be king over God's people. And whenever he became king, God called him the shepherd of my people. And God promised in the prophets that he would raise up a good shepherd like David. In fact, he uses that language in Ezekiel 34, which we read earlier. And he says, I'm going to send my servant David to them, and he will shepherd them for their good. There are good shepherds. And Jesus talks here, though, about bad shepherds. Now, all of us, whether we will admit it or not, I believe that we long for good shepherds. You know, people talk about daddy issues and having issues with authority. Well, all of us long for good shepherds. We want to have relationships with those who will truly care for us, who will lead us for our good, and who will protect us. But so many people all around us experience a void of good shepherding. In our homes, in our churches, there are people that we know that are scattered because they haven't heard the voice of a shepherd that truly cares. And it is heartbreaking. It is heartbreaking because then sheep try to fend for themselves, and it just doesn't work that way. So Jesus goes into two illustrations. He gives two categories of bad shepherds here. Two categories of those that are shepherding sheep in some way who fail in one way or another. The first, he says, of these bad shepherds, they are like thieves and robbers. Literally, in the Middle East, shepherds would take their sheep and put them in a large pen with other flocks in the town, and there would be someone to guard them overnight. And you'd have to get past that guy in order to steal some of these sheep from this pen. And Jesus says that they sneak in there. In the analogy, they are thieves and robbers. Now, in our language, in English, we say thief and we say robber, and it means basically the same thing. In the Greek, thief means what we mean by thief. Robber means someone that comes to do harm, to hurt. It's used in connection with an insurrectionist, someone that is not going to just take your things, but they want to do you physical harm, to do damage to you. And Jesus says, there are these kinds of shepherds. These are the really bad ones. Their intention is to hurt the sheep, to brutalize them. He says, kill, steal, destroy. They sneak in. They are wolves that disguise themselves in sheep's clothing. And they actually set themselves intentionally to hurt the sheep for their gain. I'm going to kill that sheep because it'll make me a little bit more fat. It'll make me full. Or I can get wealth by exploiting that sheep. That is their intention. That is what they do. The driving motivation of these is to harm, no matter how they justify the damage that they inflict. And this infuriates God. You know, Pastor Chai prayed about God, our Father, as the great shepherd this morning. That's a phrase from the book of Hebrews. God gives shepherds. He allows people to have authority and then the responsibility to care for his people. And God is the great shepherd who will make these shepherds, us shepherds, give an account for how we do this. And when we exploit God's sheep, if we do, he sees it. He is watching. And in Ezekiel 34, God says, I myself will judge them. It is a severe warning that God's wrath is hanging over and it will come down on shepherds who exploit his sheep. That's the first category, thieves and robbers, he says. The second category of shepherds who don't care for the sheep as they ought to, he refers to as a hired hand. A hired hand is someone who is just doing a job, but they won't risk personal loss. They won't risk personal safety for the sake of the sheep. You know, I don't want to lose anything that I have for the sake of these sheep. I'm just here to do a job. Yeah, I'm a good shepherd. But when a wolf comes, I'm out of here. When a threat comes along, no, I'm not going to stand up. These are not people who are as bad as the thieves and robbers in that they would intentionally set themselves to brutalize the sheep. But they care nothing for the sheep. They're there for a job. They're there for their own interests. When a wolf comes, Jesus says, some threat. What is that? Anything that hurts God's flock. Satanic attacks, people, false teachings, exploitation of any kind. They just let it happen. When the wolf comes, the hired hand cares nothing for the sheep. Jesus says, so they run away. They protect themselves. They won't get involved. They won't get engaged. This happens when you realize someone in the church is going to be hurt and you choose to do nothing. You could be a shepherd, someone that with responsibility who hears slander. And in fact, we see in that passage in Ezekiel that we as sheep have a similar responsibility for one another. We'll get to that in a minute. But you might hear slander, but you don't speak up to put it in check. You might say, hey, not my battle to fight. And you let someone get thrown under the bus and their reputation torn to shreds. And that's a wolf that is hurting one of God's sheep. But what have you done? You've run away. You might let someone in the church do something wrong to another and not get involved. Because maybe you don't want to be the one that makes waves. Jesus said, a hired hand sees a wolf and leaves the sheep and flees. You see, on the one hand, there is a category of bad shepherds who intentionally set themselves to abuse, to exploit, and to brutalize. And there's another whole category which Jesus says completely also insufficient and doesn't care for the sheep because they're hired hands. Those are the ones who abandon. They don't do what they ought to do. They abandon the responsibility of protecting and providing for the sheep. You know, think about how much a husband impacts his marriage, given the responsibility to shepherd his wife, or a parent, or a teacher. How much these can impact the lives of others when they do wrong or when they do not do what they ought to do. It's incredible. There are different kinds of shepherds, but God sees and God cares. In our passage, though, today, God is specifically talking about shepherds of God's sheep, God's people. And so when he talks about pastors, this is what he's talking about. The word pastor is Latin for shepherd. That's what he's talking about most specifically. Those who are responsible for caring for God's people in the church. There are others in the church who have different kinds of responsibilities. And I would compare them to the sheep, the other sheep who have some ability to hurt other sheep within the flock. You know, we have Sunday school teachers, we have nursery workers, we have people that manage finances or facilities, people who serve in security. But primarily what this is talking about are those who shoulder the primary responsibility as pastors, as elders. You might be able to make an argument for deacons as well in that. God is watching such shepherds. God is also watching sheep. The question is, how will such shepherds care for God's sheep, God's people? Will you care for them? Will you step up and speak up when it's right or when something wrong is happening that you have to say something about? Or will you, in the words of Ezekiel 34, will you make yourself fat and exploit the sheep? Will you clothe yourselves by fleecing them? A note on this: when sheep exploit other sheep, later in that passage in Ezekiel, which is, I think, the basis for this, because he promises that the Messiah will come, that God says, I myself will shepherd my sheep. And he also says, I will send my servant David to shepherd my sheep. God says this: as for you, my flock, thus says the Lord God, behold, I judge between sheep and sheep. It is not enough for you to, is it not enough for you to feed on good pastures, that you must tread down with your feet the rest of your pasture, and to drink of clear water, that you must muddy the rest of the water with your feet? Sheep ruining the experience for the other sheep by exploiting them. And must my sheep, he says, eat what you have trodden down with your feet and drink what you have muddied with your feet? Therefore, thus says the Lord God to them, behold, I myself will judge between the fat sheep and the lean sheep. That being an illustration of those that take and exploit those that can't among the sheep. The reason I want to point this out is that these are severe warnings from God, who is watching everything that's happening to every one of us, all of us being sheep at some level. Severe warnings from God that he will make things right and he will make us give an account, especially those who are given the responsibility and will be judged by a higher standard as shepherds. Jesus says this about the false shepherds, about those who are thieves and robbers or hired hands. Jesus says, the sheep will flee from strangers. Now, of whom is he? Who is he talking about when he says the sheep? He's talking about those that are his people. He's talking about God's people that he is making one flock. He says they will flee from a stranger because they do not know the voice of a stranger. There are people all around us listening to many voices. Getting away from the analogy of sheep listening to different voices of shepherds, there are people who spend their whole lives listening to different voices. Maybe this one is true. Maybe that one is true. You know, maybe this show on TV, maybe this podcast that I listen to, maybe this is where I can find the truth. But they haven't found the one voice that they can trust. And again, it's sad. It is very sad. Remember the context when Jesus is saying this. There was a man that was born blind and then healed. The Pharisees grilled him and then they cast him out. But it wasn't for sin. It was because they disagreed with what he was saying. They didn't like what he was saying about Jesus. And for that reason, they cast him out. Incredible punishment. Everybody knew that these Pharisees could do this. It said in the last chapter that everyone knew that if anyone should confess Jesus to be the Messiah, he was to be cast out of the synagogue. And as I look at that passage of what happened with the man that was born blind and then healed, and as I look at that, I see that these Pharisees were using their voice. And they were saying, you need to say this and you need to believe this. And the blind man refused to listen to their voice. He has noticed that about the passage. And he said, you know, whether he's false or not, I'm not going to say. I can't say. He said, you guys are the experts. And they said, wait a second. I know this. I was blind and now I can see. And they kept grilling him. He wouldn't agree to submit to say what they're saying. He wouldn't echo back their false decision about Jesus. But he said, remember when Pastor Chad told us this? Do you too want to be his disciples? That was a friendly put them in check. This man would not listen to their voice. He would not say what they wanted him to say. And in their hostility, they actually repelled this man. That he would not follow them. their strange voice was to him so strange that they said, you know what, I'm not going to go that way. I don't care if you kick me out of the synagogue. He knew what was coming. His parents avoided it. He wasn't able to. He got kicked out of the synagogue. Couldn't sit under God's word anymore. That was a huge problem for this man. But still, not knowing yet the one voice, which would be his good shepherd, he would not listen to the false shepherds. He would not listen to their voice, and he got kicked out. That's a big social stigma. I mean, imagine being put on notice. No more synagogue for this man. It was a social disgrace. Being blocked from God's word. And it is in this place when this man, having bumped around, having been blind his whole life, just healed, just experiencing the most wonderful thing in his life to this point, he's walking out and Jesus knew that this had happened to him, and he sought him out and he said, do you believe in the Son of Man? And the man that has sight now said, well, who is he that I can believe in him? And Jesus said, the guy you're talking to right now, I'm that guy. And the man believed and he worshiped him. And then the Pharisee said, are we blind too? And Jesus rebuked them and he said, basically, yeah, you're still blind. And then he says, listen to this, everyone. And it was in this context when he said, I am the good shepherd. And he says, there are bad shepherds. And everyone got a perfect illustration of that with these Pharisees. They were abusing their power. They were mistreating God's sheep. And Jesus was calling them to himself. They would not listen to their voices, but people are starting to listen to Jesus' voice. And Jesus said, in that context, in comparison to the bad, I am the good shepherd. An incredible statement. There is one good shepherd above all others. And it is this one truly good shepherd. God promised that this shepherd would come back in Ezekiel 34 and in other places. God said that he would send shepherds after his own heart. But God said that there would be one, and this is in reference to the Messiah, that he would be a shepherd like David over all his people. Let's look at what sets him apart. Okay? Let's look at our passage here. He says several things about himself. First of all, he says that his sheep hear his voice. I mean, that is the thing that's repeated the most in this passage. They won't listen to the voice of a stranger, but they will listen to my voice. They won't follow the voice of a stranger, but they will follow me. And I will lead them in and out, and they will have pasture. The sheep hear his voice, and they follow him. He calls them by name. You see, what he's talking about here is there is finally the one voice. After bumping around and listening to other strange voices, trying to find a shepherd that will protect and provide for and guide, and bumping around and not finding it, finally there's the one voice. He's the one that I can trust. And he says he calls them by name. There is an intimate relationship, a tender, caring, trusting relationship between this one good shepherd and all of his sheep. And he is calling them to himself. And he says, I am the good shepherd. This tender relationship is the first thing that he points out that marks the relationship between Jesus and his people. This is how we know him. We hear his voice and we recognize it. That's what Jesus is saying. And it resonates in our hearts as true because we trust it and we follow it. And it comes to us through the scriptures, it comes to us through God's word. More about that in a minute. Second thing, he leads them out, it says. Verse 3, he leads them out. He goes before them, just like these Bedouins do still today. You see, Jesus is not here. He didn't come to be a shepherd like any other shepherd, but so that his flock would be unique. And he leads us out. Out of what? Out of the normal patterns of this world. We follow a shepherd that guides us all the way, and we walk in a path that is different than other flocks in this world. There are tribes everywhere. There are people that are listening to all kinds of different voices. But all of us around the world who belong to the Good Shepherd follow him out of all of those patterns. And we follow a pattern that he sets for us. And he has walked before us. Being a Christian means following Jesus, living for him, and becoming like him. We hear his voice. He calls us by name with this intimate relationship, and he leads us out. Third thing he says about himself, that he is the door of the sheep. What does he mean by this? If you read about this, you will read about how shepherds would lay in front of the only opening of a sheep pen, and that if a wolf came in, they would have to go over the body of the shepherd, or if a sheep tried to get out, they would have to go over the body of the shepherd. That's good. That's a good analogy. What is Jesus talking about here? He says that he is the only way into God's family. He is the door. What is he talking about? Later in the book, he says something very similar. In John chapter 14, he says, "I am the way." When he says, "I am the way, the truth, and the life, no one comes to the Father but by me." Here he says, "I am the door." Okay, and what does he mean? He says it this way. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved. You see, there's a way of entering into this relationship of being a sheep that belongs to the shepherd, the good shepherd, which means you're going from not having life to having life and being saved for all eternity. And he puts it this way. He came that we might have life and have it abundantly. Okay, so he's the door through which we enter into life. He himself, Jesus, is the door. I was told when I was 17 years old about this verse that, you know, you might have plans for your life and you might think that you know how to make it the most happy life and the most abundant life. But no one can do that except this one, Jesus. And this verse was pointed out to me when I came to believe in him who is the good shepherd, who is my good shepherd. And I can tell you that through all the ups and downs of this world, I know that there is abundant life. And with him being my shepherd, and many of you can say the same thing, there is nothing better. You go in and you come out and he is there and he guides us all the way. And he is our good shepherd, and that is abundant life. He leads us through scary times, through valleys of shadows of death, but he comforts us there. And he feeds us in green pastures, and he gives us times of rest. And that's what it is like to have abundant life with the good shepherd right now. And so that's the next thing he says. And then he says this, and this is the most important thing, which he repeats three times in this passage, that this is how he does it. This is how he makes a flock for himself. He says, the good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. Remember David, when David went to fight Goliath? He went and he talked to the king and he said, "I have fought lions and I have fought a bear. And I have fought them off. And God has helped me." A good shepherd sees a threat coming and defends and protects the sheep. And whenever you get into a fight with, say, a lion, you might not win. Now, that's just true of all shepherds. If a shepherd is going to get into a fight with a wild animal, with a beast, the shepherd might die. Jesus says here something that is analogous to that, and he's doing it to protect, he says. But he says, "I lay down my life for the sheep." But there's something unique about this. Remember what Jesus said was a prophecy fulfilled, that when he died, that the shepherd would be struck and the sheep would be scattered. And that happened when he was arrested and he went to his trial and the cross. His followers were scattered. But he didn't leave it at that. You see, if sheep were left without their shepherd because he laid down his life and that's all that happened, then they would be vulnerable to all the wolves. There needs to be a shepherd in place. So this is what he says. "I laid down my life for the sheep." He did this when he went to the cross, very clearly. What are the wolves that are attacking people? What are the worst enemies of people made in God's image who will exist for forever? I'll tell you, they are sin and death and the devil. And we are vulnerable to those. When Jesus died on the cross, he faced that wolf. And you know what he did? He took care of that wolf for forever for his people. Jesus' death was the exact plan also of God the Father, who is the great shepherd, who sends his son to be the shepherd for his people and to die for them, but not just to die. But he got that charge from his father. He says, verse 18, "This charge I received from my father." This will display what a good shepherd is like, what the good shepherd is. But God had a plan to complete this. The plan was to die on the cross and to come alive again. Overcoming death forever. Not to abandon the sheep, but to lay down his life and then take it up again. And to truly protect his sheep and to lead his sheep and to feed his sheep into all eternity, starting right now. Jesus' death was for a definite purpose. He died to save his people from our worst enemy. And that is sin, death, the devil, a package deal. So you see that there are shepherds who are bad and there is a good shepherd, the good shepherd. Here's my question for you this morning. Many of us are Christians. Some among us are not, and I'm glad you're here. I want you to be able to sit here and hear these things. But my question is the same for all of us. Do you know his voice? Think about that, friends. Do you listen to his voice? If you do, if you know his voice, then you listen to it. You know, because your good shepherd is the one who guides you. With his word, he feeds you. He provides for you. He guides you and he protects you. His voice is an incredible gift. His very presence is an incredible gift. The relationship, the warm and tender relationship of calling you by name. What a privilege. Do you know his voice? Do you listen to his voice? If you listen to his voice, then you will flee from strangers. You will hear his word. And then whenever a stranger comes in and they say something that's different, you'll say, "That is not my shepherd. That is not my shepherd, and I'm not going to follow that." And his voice guides us and it protects us from the other voices of other would-be shepherds, who are thieves and robbers and hired hands. You'll say, "That's not my shepherd's voice," and you will run. Friends, the good shepherd speaks through his word. He has given us his word. He speaks through the prophets and the apostles. This Bible that you have, if you don't have one, talk to me, talk to Pastor Chai after the service. We will give you one. This God's word is how God guides us. It's his voice to us. It is an incredible gift. The big question I have for you today is simply this. Do you hear his voice? Do you listen to his voice? It says that when you do, when you listen to his voice, that you will go in and out and you will find pasture. In other words, there is satisfaction for your very soul from this shepherd. By listening to his voice. What a promise. Your heart can say, like Psalm 23, "The Lord is my shepherd. I will not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters." And you know what? I get beat up sometimes, but he restores my soul. It's an amazing thing to have the voice of a good shepherd, isn't it? And when you know his voice and you listen to his voice, you will have life and you will have it abundantly. Brothers and sisters, here's an application for you today. You who know his voice, you who listen to his voice. And there are different ways to listen to his voice. When we preach from this pulpit, expect to hear what is in the text. And if we don't, then smack us around until what we're saying is the same as what's in here. But it's a high priority for us to do that. That's an amen. That's why he's saying that. You know, listen to good podcasts. Read your Bible. Just read it. Because that's our shepherd's voice. And brothers and sisters, you who know this good shepherd, read your Bible, do this, and when you're doing it, enjoy being a sheep under the care of the good shepherd. Just, I want you today to think about that. You can rest because there's a shepherd that cares for your soul for all eternity. And he is giving you his voice over and over again to feed you, to lead you, to protect you. And what a gift that is. Just rest in that. Just enjoy that. You know, people hold back from being dependent on others. We can rest in it. We can just lay down and let him carry us sometimes. You know, in fact, all the time. He is our good shepherd. Lastly, I want us to notice this, that the good shepherd is growing his flock. Verse 16, I have other sheep that are not of this fold. I must bring them also, and they will listen to my voice. So there will be one flock and one shepherd. The Bible's good news, the voice of the shepherd, the gospel keeps going out. And people all around the world, in different countries and in your homes, you know, I mean, children grow up in Christian homes and they hear the Bible read, Bible time, in church, in Sunday school. And amazing things happen because little kids and teenagers, they will hear the voice of the good shepherd and he calls them by name. And an amazing thing that we get to see a lot around here is that these little children recognize the voice of the good shepherd and he calls them by name and he brings them into his flock. You know, people that we work with, people that are our friends, a great way for you to introduce them to the good shepherd is just to open up and say, you know, why don't we read the Bible together? You know, I'm a Christian. I know you're not. Let's read the Gospel of John together. And you just read it together. And they get to hear the shepherd's voice. And you get to be another sheep that's following the good shepherd saying, you know, this is what it means. I've come to understand this. Don't get that part yet. Don't understand it. But you know what? That's okay. You don't have to have all the answers. And the good shepherd, his voice goes out. And he calls his sheep. They hear his voice. And people that bounce around and they are left empty by other shepherds that are thieves and robbers that are hired hands, they hear the good shepherd because there's only one. And they realize, I can trust him. And you know what? Even imperfect churches, even churches that are busted and broken. By the way, if you find a perfect church, don't join it because you'll ruin it from being perfect. They don't stay in churches because of the perfection of the local shepherds or the quality of the other sheep, but because they can hear their shepherd's voice there at that local church. Because they need a good shepherd and he keeps his sheep in flocks. We must keep his voice going out. God also promised to send good shepherds, shepherds after his own heart. In Jeremiah 3, I will give you shepherds after my own heart, who will feed you with knowledge and understanding. Later in this book, in the last chapter, Jesus is standing beside the Sea of Galilee after he came back from the dead, calls Peter. Peter had been scattered. Peter promised to be like a shepherd to Jesus. He said, I will never abandon you. Even if they all go away from you, I will not. Even if I have to die, I will not deny you. But he did. Three times. Rooster crowed. Peter's ashamed. Goes out crying. Jesus finds him by the sea, calls him and asks him a question three times. Remember what he asked him? Peter, do you love me? Three times he asked him this. Peter had fled because the wolf came and he fled to save his own neck. But he asked him three times, Peter, do you love me? And he gives him three charges after Peter says, yes, I love you three times. The first time, Jesus says, do you love me? Peter says, yes. Jesus says, feed my lambs. Do you love me? You know that I love you. Jesus says, tend my sheep. Do you love me? Peter's deeply hurt. You know all things. You know that I love you. Jesus says, feed my sheep. Peter went from being a hired hand to being a shepherd after God's own heart. and God sent him out. Ephesians 4 says that God gives the church shepherds, pastors, teachers to equip the church so that we are built up together. In other words, he gives under shepherds and he gives us and calls us to churches for this purpose, to be shepherds sent by the great shepherd. And when these shepherds faithfully proclaim the words of the great shepherd, then God speaks through us. It's an amazing thing. We get to proclaim God's word, his word, the Bible, to his people. And when we do that, when this happens, God's people are fed and healed and led and protected. God is amazing, isn't he? There's a good shepherd. My question for you this morning is this. Have you heard his voice? If you haven't, you're hearing it right now. Jesus' words from the Bible. He is the good shepherd. He is the one who cares for your soul. Turn to him, listen to him, and follow him. And all of us who have, here's my admonition to us. Listen to his voice over and over again. Keep listening to him. Jesus is the good shepherd. Enjoy his provision. He laid down his life to give you life. So hear him and follow him. Let's pray.